Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Last we had discussed in this Kitab Anwar al-Salam in regards to the various views in regards to khushu, and this we had done previously as well, and it was repeated here. Like Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an mentioned that khushu is a thing of the heart, and Qatada radiallahu ta'ala mentioned that khushu refers to the fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and to keep the gaze lowered when a person is in salah. And the third was the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw one person that he was playing with his beard in salah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that had this person had khushu in the heart, then all the limbs of the body would have been at ease. And that is what is khushu. Further he says, اور دوسری جگہ بے خبری سے نماز پڑھنے والے کے متعلق ارشاد ہے. And in another place in the Quran, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala makes mention in regards to those people that perform salah in a state of negligence, unmindfulness. What does Allah Ta'ala say? فَوَيْلٌ لِّلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاؤُونَ. That بری خرابی ہے ان لوگوں کے لیے جو اپنی نماز سے بے خبر ہے, جو ایسے ہے کہ دکھلاوا کرتے ہیں. He says that woe unto those people, destruction unto those people that perform the salah in a state of negligence and mindfulness, and they perform the salah to show other people. So here this word wail has been used. Wail literally, it can be translated as woe, destruction unto such a person. But another mean of wail is a valley that is in Jahannam. And this is such a terrible valley, the rest of Jahannam, they seek protection from Allah Ta'ala from this valley. That's so terrible this valley is. So this word wail, that destruction to that person, this valley of Jahannam for that person, Allah Ta'ala normally uses this word for the kuffar, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ, that woe and destruction to those that ascribe passes unto Allah. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْكَافِرِينَ, woe and destruction to those people that are kuffar. So normally it is for them that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala uses this word. Another place where Allah Ta'ala uses this word, وَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ, that woe and destruction to those people that give less in weight and measure. Allah Ta'ala speaks of those people, أَلَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ, that when they go to buy something and they take, they weight, they take, they measure, then they want to the last centimeter that is there, or the last millimeter that is there, they want everything in full. But on the other hand, when they are selling, when they have to sell by weight, they have to sell by measure, وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْتِرُونَ, that when they weigh, when they measure and they sell, then they give people less. So Allah Ta'ala says, woe and destruction to those people. Ulama say that this doesn't only refer to weight and measure when we're selling in the shop, something by weight, something by measure. For example, for a husband, it's wajib upon him to pay the expenses of his wife, to give her a stipulated amount, a certain amount. Husband is supposed to give his wife every month for her personal needs. Whatever she wants to do with it, he cannot take her to account, he cannot question her. She must use for whatever she wants. So this nafaqah, this is referred to as nafaqah. This nafaqah is wajib on the husband. So they say a man that doesn't give his wife this, so this is also giving short, that you're supposed to be giving her nafaqa, her expenses every month, and you never gave her. So if a person is owing, he's supposed to go and sort it out with his wife, or ask maaf from his wife, whatever it might be. So this is also there. Similarly, ulama say, for example, a person is selling something in his shop. Now he's advertising this item as genuine. This is a genuine, for example, now you get shoes. So he said this is a genuine shoe, whatever make is, or whichever factory it comes from, it's a genuine. But we know you get the fake of it, everything is made in China today, so you get the fake. But the way they copy it, it looks like the genuine. So a person now took the one that's made in China, and he advertised it as genuine. This is also giving short, because you're lying, you're deceiving the customer here. For example, some places they sell ghee, so they advertise it pure butter ghee. But now, if it is not pure butter, now there's something else that has been added, some margarine has been added in there. So now you're deceiving your customer. So that's also now giving less. So Allah Ta'ala uses this word, wail, for those type of people. Now imagine such an intense word. Allah Ta'ala uses for the kafirin, for the mushrikeen. Allah Ta'ala uses for those people that cheat other people, deceive other people. The same word Allah Ta'ala is using here, for wailul lil musalleen, that destruction to the people that read namaz. And then Allah explains that who are those people? That when they stand to perform their salah, that they are negligent. They are unmindful of their namaz. Khafil of their namaz. So these are the people. Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi says that once a doubt came into my mind. There's a hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when it is mentioned that on one occasion Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he came to the masjid. And the narrator of the hadith, he was in doubt. He says, I can't remember exactly whether it was the Zuhr Salah or whether it was the Asr Salah that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to the masjid. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came, he made imamat. But instead of reading 4 rakat, because Zuhr is also 4 and Asr is also 4. Instead of reading 4 rakat, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam read 3 rakat and he terminated the Salah. So Sahaba that were there, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala is sitting there, Umar radiallahu ta'ala is sitting there, great, great Sahaba. But no one's got the courage to tell Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, one rakat less has been read. And it is possible that that was a time of wahi, that wahi used to come down. So the number of rakat could have changed. So nobody could go forward. So there was one Sahabi that was in the congregation. The name of the Sahabi hasn't been given, but his title, Dhul Yadain, the man that got two hands. Everyone got two hands. So it's possible he was a very generous person. So he was referred to as Dhul Yadain. So he built up the courage. And then he went to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he said to ask Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, أَقُصِرَتِ الصَّلَىٰ أَمْ نَسِيتَ? Has the number of rakats decreased? Or have you forgotten, O Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Has it come from 4 now to 3? Or have you forgotten and made a mistake? Instead of 4 rakats, you read 3 rakats. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, مَا نَسِيتُ وَلَمْ تَقْصُرِ الصَّلَىٰ? I haven't forgotten. And the number of rakats also haven't decreased. So then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked Sahaba, he said, is it as Dhul Yadain is saying, that I have read one rakat short? So Sahaba agreed. They said, Ya Rasulullah, you read 3 rakat instead of 4. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam came onto the musalla. And then Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wasalam completed the mas rakat. And in the end of the salah, he made what we call sajda sahu. So here ulama say, one lesson we can take from here, is even the errors of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the mistake of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, was rahmat for the ummah. That here a masla of deen we learned in the era of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wasalam. But in these masail that we learned, those things that were not contrary to the shan of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the status of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, those type of errors Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam committed himself. For example, to make a mistake in salah, one rakat short. So here Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wasalam made such an error, it's not against the status of prophethood, of nubuwat. And there were those errors that are contrary and against the status of nubuwat. A Nabi of Allah Ta'ala can never do that. So those type of errors Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could not commit. For example, stealing. That's against the shan of a Nabi. Can never imagine a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala stealing. But there also we had to learn a masla of shariat. And that is, that if a person steals and it is more than 10 dirhams, then cut off the hand of a person. So those type of errors took place at the hands of Sahaba. Adultery, fornication. Nabi of Allah Ta'ala can never. It's mentioned to the extent, it comes in narrations, مَا بَغَتْ إِمْرَأَةُ نَبِيٍ قَتُّ. That the wife of a Nabi, from Adam alayhi salam right to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the wife of a Nabi could never get involved in any form of adultery or fornication. Never. Allah Ta'ala kept them so pure. So where can we imagine the Nabi? So that, they also we have to learn a masla of shariat. That if they're not married, what is the punishment? If they are married, what is the punishment? So there, it took place at the hands of Sahaba. So here also another lesson that we learn, that look, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he spoke. He turned away from Qibla. And then he came straight onto the Musalla and he performed Salah. So we, you and I, we are not Ahli Hadith. We cannot follow Hadith directly. We will make an error. A person, he speaks after Namaz, he read 3 rakat and he got up and he spoke. He has to start his Namaz all over again. He turned away from Qibla, he walked in the opposite direction. He cannot come back and just complete that 1 rakat. So we cannot follow Hadith. We are muqallid. We have to follow the fuqaha. What is taqlid? Taqlid is to put your hands in the hands of some imam without asking him for his proof. Although the proof is there, he's got proof for everything that he's doing. Every masla of shariat is backed by proof from Quran and Hadith. But what is the proof? That we don't ask. We just follow. That is what you call taqlid, blind following. You just follow. You put your hands in the hands of the imam. You have full confidence, full trust in him. Our Hazrat explained, he gave an incident once. He says that in the hadith it comes that after the Farz Namaz, a person he should read Tasbih Fatimah 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar. Or it comes in the hadith also, any person that after the Farz Namaz, he recites Ayatul Kursi, there is no barrier between him and between Jannat except death. Meaning when he passes away, this man will go direct to Jannat. So this comes after the Farz Namaz. So once the Murana Madni Rahmatullah Ali, one of his Muridin, they were making reading these wazaif after the Faraz Namaz. So Hazrat reprimanded, he scolded them. He said that you don't do this now. Read your Sunnah Namaz and then you must read these wazaif. So Hazrat said that he couldn't understand this, that in the hadith it comes Ba'd al Maktuba, after the Faraz Namaz. But Mullah Madni Rahmatullah Ali, he reprimanded his murid on this. So he says, on one occasion we were in Lanesia. And he says, Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was there. So he says, when we got in the car, I think it was after the Maghrib Salah. So he said, I asked Hazrat, that these wazaif in the hadith, it comes Ba'd al Maktuba, after the Faraz Namaz. But why is it that Akabirin said that after the Sunnat Namaz? So then Hazrat explained, he said that you see, number one is this two sunnahs, the sunnat muakkada after the Faraz Namaz, like after Zohar, after Maghrib, after Isha. This is actually the completion and the takmila of the Faraz Namaz. If there was any shortfall in our Faraz Namaz, it will be made up in the Sunnat Salah. That is why there is no delay. That is why the dua also after Zohar, after Maghrib and after Isha. Some narration comes, Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam, tabarak ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Some narrations come for kalima. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never made a lengthy dua, although the muftis and the ulama have written in our fatawa kitab, it is written that if you add few other duas, Allahumma a'inna ala zikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadati, one two other duas, then it's acceptable. But not a lengthy dua. Why? Because the two sunnahs, that is a completion of the faraz namaz. And the second thing Hazrat mentioned, Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he said, you see, when fuqaha, they come, the jurists, like Imam Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayhi, Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Alayhi, the fuqaha, when they come to any conclusion in any masla of deen, then they don't just look at one hadith. They don't just look at one hadith and they reach conclusion. But all the ahadith in that particular subject, they look at all the ahadith. If there's 50 hadith, there's 100 ahadith, they look at all those ahadith. And then they come to a conclusion in that particular matter. Imam Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayhi will find that whenever anything became law, it just didn't become law. Imam Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayhi had a panel of 40 muftis. And any masla that they passed, that became law, it would go through the 40 muftis. And when they would endorse it, when they would say that it is fine, then it would become law. That is why you don't find many, many retractions in the Hanafi Mazhab, that this was the masla, then the Imam retracted, and now this became the masla. So nevertheless, we learned this, that we followed the fuqaha. So nevertheless, Mullah Thanvi Rahmatullah, coming back to Mullah Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, Mullah Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he had a doubt. He said that, Ya Allah Ta'ala is saying, that those people that read the salah in a state of unmindfulness, they negligent. So he says, how is it that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, here he heard, how come Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, instead of four rakat, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam read three rakat. That he also read a salah that was of negligence, of unmindfulness. We can never imagine that. From here also, Hazrat explains, he says, that certain questions, see Mullah Thanvi, what knowledge Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with. But certain questions are such that you do not ask a person in a public gathering. Why? Because perhaps he does not know the answer. In Darul Iftah also, many questions come. We have to research, we have to look for the answers. All the answers we don't have. Many a times there's an answer that is given, and the answer is written out. After the answer is written out, although it is from the kitab, but we don't process it. We don't send it out to the person that asked the question. Sometimes you need to think over it. Sometimes it takes 2 weeks, sometimes 3 weeks. That is this the correct answer? When Allah Ta'ala gives you itminan, when your heart is 100% at ease, that this is the correct answer, then the answer is sent out. So, in a public gathering, don't just ask a question. That's why many muftis, many ulama, are not in favor of the Q&A also. Because you cannot know everything. And then an error takes place. You give the wrong answer. So he says, if a person has a question, then ask the person that you want to ask, whoever he might be, an alim or whoever, ask him privately. Or if you know with certainty that he got the answer, then it's no problem, then you can ask him. So nevertheless, Mullah Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi says that I couldn't understand this. He said, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala opened it up to me one day. He says that I thought about it and Allah Ta'ala put it into my heart that the namaz of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his salah was of such a high degree, so much of devotion, so much of love of Allah Ta'ala, that when he was engrossed in that love of Allah Ta'ala, he forgot the number of rakat. This is the amount of love he had for Allah Ta'ala, and this is how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was totally absorbed in his namaz. Then Mullah Thanvi Rahmatullah explained this by means of an example. Mullah Thanvi Rahmatullah says, see, there's a river, and there are two people that are standing at the bank of the river. But one person, He took a jump. He went into the water. He swam to the other side. And he came back. And he is standing at the bank. And the second person, perhaps he does not even know how to swim. He hasn't even put his foot into the water. So he is also standing on the same. Both of them are standing together. But there's a world of a difference between the two. One has already taken a swim. He knows how to swim and he has come back. And the other one is standing. He hasn't even put his foot into the water. Exactly the same way, the errors that take place in Salah. Two people read namaz and both read, for example, 3 rakat instead of 4 rakat in Zohar. But one made an error because his mind was in dunya. And the other person, like the example of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he's so absorbed in his salah, so much of love of Allah ta'ala, that is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he made an error here in salah. Allah ta'ala rahmatullahi used to say that he got two accounts. There are two accounts. He says, in one account, all those masail of deen that I don't understand, he says, I deposit all that in this account that I don't understand. And all those masail of deen that I understand, I put them in another account. Because sometimes things don't make sense to us. We cannot comprehend everything. Our understanding is very, very limited. Then he says that those things that Allah Ta'ala gives me the understanding of, it's in that account that I don't know. But Allah Ta'ala gives me the understanding. He says, then I move it from that account and I put it in that account of all those things that Allah Ta'ala, that I know Allah Ta'ala has given me the understanding of. So the mind is left free all the time. So here also Allah Ta'ala had opened this up for him at a later stage. So he says, further he says, لِهَذَا حَذَرَاتِ عَارِفِينَ نَي بَارُوحْ نَمَاز پَرْنَي كَي طَرِيقِ بِي بَيَانْ فَرْمَائِ هَي. That those people that are عارفين, that have recognized Allah Ta'ala, they have made mention of how to perform a salah that is full of life. جن میں ایک بہت ہی مبارک اور مؤثر حضرت سید احمد شہید رحمت اللہ علیہ کی تقریر ہے. He says, amongst which there is one very very blessed and effective بیان of حضرت شاہ احمد شہید رحمت اللہ علیہ, جو عرصہ ہوا انوار الصلاح کے نام سے تباہ ہو کر اب نایاب ہو چکی ہے. He says, for some time now this was printed and this kitab was titled انوار الصلاح, but now this kitab is out of print. It has become extinct. You don't even find this kitab. Sufi Iqbal, who is the Khalifa of the Shaykh Rahmatullah, he is writing this. اس کو دیکھ کر خود بندہ کا اور دیگر احباب کا تقاضا ہوا کہ اس کو دوبارہ تباہ کرایا جائے. He says that looking at this, that this servant, referring to himself, Sufi Iqbal, and other associates, this desire came into us that this kitab must be printed again for a second time, that it's gone out of print, that now let's bring it back into print. کہ اس مختصر رسالہ کو جس نے بھی پڑھا بے اختیار عش عش کر اٹھا کہ سبحان اللہ کیا نماز ہے. And he says that this little booklet, Anwar al-Salah, is a very short booklet as you'll see, that whoever has read this kitab, that he has become astonished and he said, subhanallah, that what is namaz? How great is namaz? Kya hal hai? Qurratu aini fi salah, yani qurratu aini fi salah puri misal hai. That what is the condition of the salah, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the coolness of my eyes lies in salah. This is a proverb, that the coolness of my eyes lies in salah. This is a proverb to express extreme joy. For example, a grandfather on the day of Eid, he's living, for example, in a neighboring country or in another country, and his children, his grandchildren all come to visit him. So how happy doesn't he get on that day of Eid? So exactly the same way Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that I enjoy my salah. Another example we can take, for example, a person, he doesn't have any money. One person was here, Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Desai Sahab, a few years ago he was here in one of the jalsas. And then he was explaining an incident to us that there was a businessman, was a multi-millionaire. He was so busy that he couldn't give a person an appointment even for 2 minutes. Even somebody comes, they want an appointment for 2 minutes. I got no time. So busy. Very, very wealthy businessman. So one day he phoned Mufti Sahab and he says, you know, I want to come and see you. So Sahab says, you can come. So he says, you know, this call that I'm making, this is the last 2 rand in my pocket that I own. I was a multi-millionaire, the last 2 rand in my pocket. So Mufti Sahab said, you can come through. So he went. And then he explained to him, he says, Allah Ta'ala had given me so much. Allah Ta'ala had given me so much. He said, Allah Ta'ala save us. He said, I got involved in haram with women. He says, today this woman, tomorrow that woman, next day another woman. He says, gradually, over a period of time, Allah Ta'ala took everything away. And this was the last 2 rand that I had in my pocket. So a person of that level, he has lost everything. He's got nothing by him. And somebody comes to him and he gives him a credit card. And he says, this credit card, you can use it wherever you go. And don't worry about the bill. I'll feed the bill. I'll sort everything out. How happy won't that person get? He everything has been done for him in life, so to say. Or a person, he's got a court case that is coming up. And you know today what it costs to go to a lawyer. You just build all the time, as I explained the other day also. That you just build all the time. You pick up this phone and you immediately build. And somebody comes to you, you got a court case, and he says, you know what, I'll give you the best lawyer, and you don't have to pay, everything is taken care of. How happy you'll get. More pleasure and more enjoyment than that, Allah Ta'ala has kept in the salah. This was that salah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is why sahaba, any problem, only thing they could think of is salah. That sahabi, the incident is famous, you must have heard it, where the sahabi didn't have food in his house. And he went, he made wudu, read 2 rakas namaz, came home, nothing. He said, no, something wrong with my wudu, maybe my namaz. Went back to the masjid. Again wudu, namaz, came back, nothing. Third time, came back. And where they used to grind the flour, flour was now coming out from there. So he went to look in there. When he went to look, stopped. Came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, this is what happened. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you didn't look, flour would have come out perhaps till the day of Qiyamah. So this is that connection they had with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. As I mentioned regarding Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullahi, where Hazrat Mawlana Mazhar Sahib Rahmat Barakatum, his son, he needed an operation. And he said that he was arranging now to send the child for an operation. So Hazrat said, Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullahi said, you know what, give me 1 week. Just give me 1 week with this child. And after that, whatever you want to do, you can do. You want to send him for operation, you can send him for operation. But just give me 1 week. He says, 1 week, he left him with Hazrat. Till today, the child never needed an operation. Now Hazrat explained that when Hazrat fell ill, they said, arteries are blocked. They have to go for bypass. So they said, when they admitted me into hospital, Hazrat told Appa, he said that, do one thing, phone Hazrat, phone Pakistan, and tell Hazrat to make dua. He says, we went after that for checkup, absolutely clear, everything clean. So he said, how is it? And when you have to see, if cardiologists have to show you, when the arteries are blocked, it is so hard, it's like rock, you cannot open it. That's why one cardiologist said, he told me that in the market they're selling this ginger water or something. They say you drink this, it clears. He said, I can't understand. He said, this thing is like rock. How is the water going to open it? Mm-hmm. Yes, dua. Person makes dua to Allah Ta'ala. Read 2 rakats of namaz. And a person who makes dua to Allah Ta'ala, then nothing. For Allah Ta'ala to open it up is absolutely nothing. Allah Ta'ala gave it to you, Allah Ta'ala can open it up also. Gee, so this is the type of salah that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to read. And this is the enjoyment that he got in salah. He has explained that there are 3 terms. One is what we call ilmul yaqeen. One is what you call aynul yaqeen. And the third is haqqul yaqeen. So he says this is such a subject matter that the ustad that teaches it, he also can't understand. And the student that learns it, he also has difficulty in understanding. So many things students, they have difficulty in understanding. Our ustad is Mufti Mutara Sahib, Tamad Barakatum. When we were in Dora Hadith, then he explained to us one day. He said that you see, when you're studying Dora Hadith, Bukhari Sharif, he said there's 3 terms, first term, second term, third term. So he says first term, the ustad understands what he's teaching, and the student, he also understands what he's been taught. Because first term, everything goes slow. Then he says you come to second term. So he says second term, ustad understands. The student, he hardly understands. And then he says you come to third term, and third term what they do is read. So basically just reading the narration because you have to finish the kitab, but you're not going to finish the kitab. So he says third term, neither does the ustad also understand, and neither does the student also understand. So some terminologies are like that. The ustad himself, he doesn't understand, he's trying to explain it. And the student also doesn't understand. So he said, Hazrat, please to give an example of food. Anything you explain with food, become very easy to understand. So he says, now let's leave ilmul yaqeen, aynul yaqeen, and haqqul yaqeen. Let's bring an example of kebab. Now we're fasting also, we're talking about food. So he said, ilmul kebab. One is to have knowledge of kebab. So he says, now you know what is a kebab, what is made of, what is kebab. So that is knowledge of kebab. Then the second is aynul kebab. So the aynul kebab means you actually see the kebab before you. Now you saw, first you had the knowledge, kebab is made of this, this, this. These are the ingredients. Second is now you saw the kebab, what is the kebab. And the third one is haqqul kebab. That is where you took the kebab, now you put it in your mouth, you tasted it. Now you know what is kebab. Now water will come in the mouth also. So he says, now you understood it from food. Now bring it into namaz. So one is ilmu salah. One is to have knowledge of salah. We read in the kitabs, what is namaz? What was the namaz of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? What was the namaz of sahaba? That is called ilmu salah. And one is aynu salah. To see salah. To see what is the true salah. Our Hazrat says that if we wanted to see what is the true salah, then look at the salah of the students of Allama Shanwar Kashmiri Rahmatullah Alayh. What a salah they used to read. He said the salah of Maulana Muhammad Gardi of White River, his father, the type of salah that they used to read. Mufti Sanjazi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Look at them, you would have seen what is a true salah if we looked at them. That is Ainus Salah. Hazrat Madni Rahmatullah Ali, he was travelling once on a Jummah morning, he was going for Safar on Safar. So he stopped at the railway station and they got off. Hazrat Madni Rahmatullah was the Imam. And Friday, on Jummah morning, it is sunnah to read Alif Lam Mim Sajda in the first rakat and Surah Dahar in the second rakat. It's long, can take up to 12, 15 minutes, up to 20 minutes also if somebody is a slow reader. So Hazrat started his salah. Now he's reading Alif Lam Mim Sajda and Surah Dahar and the train is about to depart. So they waving the flag, they pressing the horn. So there were those that were behind Hazrat Madni Rahmatullah. So they broke their salah, they got onto the train, they got to miss the train now. So they got onto the train. So Hazrat completed his salah. He finished the entire Alif Lam Mim Sajda and the entire Surah Dahar. So when he completed his salah, then people said, Hazrat, but they waved the flag, the horn, everything was done. You still continued, you never shortened the salah. Hazrat said, I knew absolutely nothing. If I knew, I would have shortened my salah. This is Ainu Salah. You see somebody reading a proper salah. So one is Ilmu Salah, one is Ainu Salah, and one is Haqqu Salah. One is you get the opportunity of reading that, mashallah, like Hazrat said yesterday, some brothers said that we're reading a salah of complete concentration. Now when that type of a salah is read, then we'll find that that salah will become the coolness of our eyes. How Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained that the coolness of my eyes lies in salah. But must remember that this encouragement is given. See, these brothers took up the initiative. They went themselves and they tried to read that salah. So the Shaykh, he'll only give little bit of encouragement, the inspiration. Hazrat says that 1% inspiration is from the Shaykh and 99% perspiration is from the Murid. Anyone wants to reach Allah Ta'ala, we come to the Khanqa, we come here. From the Shaykh, you'll get inspiration. And how much that is? Only 1%. And 99% is perspiration, that you'll have to make that effort. Then you will reach there. Not that you just come and you think you're going to get it. Allah Ta'ala can give whomsoever He wants, but a person has to make effort. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, in his Khanqa, in Ramadan every year, Hazrat used to have silent majlis. He used to have silent majlis. And mashayikh, when we go to the majlis, it's not for the bayan. We're going for the sohbat. We're going to remain in their company. And I can't remember who it was that mentioned, that he said that those that cannot, some buzruq he mentioned, those that cannot benefit from my silent majlis, how are they going to benefit from that majlis of mine where I speak? So the Shaykh Ramtri was a man of few words. He's writing, Allah Ta'ala addressed him, but he hardly used to speak. Mulana Ahmad Tariq Desai, P.E. Mulana is not a speaker, but when he starts with a pen, then he's a different man altogether. So, as a Shaykh Ramtri, he never used to speak. But he says, every year in Ramadan, he used to make mention of a particular incident. So he said, there was a group of Dakus, I think. So these people, the leader who was the big guru of these Dakus, he decided to become a Shaykh. So they went to one masjid and they sat down. So with his murid. So now all those murids are, they're all Dakus. And this person is the big chief. So everyone is sitting like he's the big Shaykh. So there were one or two people that came that were genuine. They wanted to make Islah. So they came. So they said, you know, we want some wazifa. So what should we do? We want to reach Allah Ta'ala. So what he knew, they were Dakus. So they knew nothing. So he told him, you know what, you take the axe and you go out there in the jungle and certain piece of land, start digging that piece of land. So he took the axe, the murid was genuine, so he took it and he went out and he started digging. And he dug and dug, and as he dug, he was so sincere that this is what my Shaykh said, Allah Ta'ala elevated him. Allah Ta'ala began elevating his stages and he became close to Allah Ta'ala. Now when he reached such a high stage, he attained that closeness of Allah Ta'ala. So he made dua. So what dua he made? He said, Ya Allah, if you gave me so much, when I followed the instruction of my Shaykh, then what must be the position and what was the martaba of my Shaykh? Must be the martaba of my Shaykh? Show me the martaba of my Shaykh. But he had no martaba. But on this, he made tawbah and he changed his life. He changed his entire life. So sometimes the Shaykh, he might not even be genuine. But on the talab that the murid has, he can reach Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If he is genuine and he makes the effort, so if he makes an effort on salah also, he will reach Allah ta'ala. He wants that nisbat with Allah ta'ala, that connection with Allah ta'ala, and you are genuine, on that a person will reach Allah ta'ala. Once Khaja Sahib rahmatullahi asked Mullah Thanwi rahmatullahi, how does a person know he got nisbat? That we all want that connection with Allah. How does he know that he got this connection with Allah ta'ala? So Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah was Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, Hakim al-Ummat. So he told Khaja Sahib, he said, Khaja Sahib, when you became baligh, who had to tell you became baligh? Did your parents have to tell you you're baligh? He said, no. So he said, exactly the same way. When a man has got connection with Allah Ta'ala, nobody has to tell him. His whole life changes now. His whole life changes. Like a little boy, when he is not baligh, what he does? He's playing with marbles. After he became baligh, he's playing with other marbles after that. Person, when he was not baligh, at that time, he's taking his sleeves and he's wiping his nose. But when you become baligh, now he's worried, my hairstyle must be like this. Stand by the mirror, imama must be, the fold must be exactly here. Everything must be perfect. My kurta, no crease on my kurta also. Now he's walking, he got a cloth in his pocket, he's shining his shoes. Why he became baligh now? Now he's worried about girls. Now, small boys, you know, tell him about girls, they're not worried about that. But now when he became baligh, his outlook of life has changed. Exactly understand it the same way. When a man got connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and he didn't have it before, his whole outlook of life will then change. Before this person, he would go out takeaways. He wants to eat takeaways. That's what he enjoys. But when he got nisbat with Allah Ta'ala, he doesn't want to go to the takeaway. Now, he'll eat simple food. And Allah Ta'ala will give him that enjoyment in that simple food. Now he's not worried about crisps and chocolates. Now he wants the zamzam of Makkah Sharif. Now he wants the dates and the kajur of Medina al-Munawwara. This is indication. He's got nisbat with Allah Ta'ala. Before a person, he can't sit on his own. He must have company. Somebody is cracking a joke. Somebody is saying this. But nisbat with Allah Ta'ala, I want to be on my own. Me and my Allah. This is when a person has got nisbat with Allah Ta'ala, which Hazrat says that his kirdar, raftar, guftar, everything changes. The way he speaks, that changes. How a person walks, his that changes. His akhlaq, his character, his behavior to other people. Everything in his life changes. This is an indication that a person has got nisbat with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So anyway, he says that this is that kitab, in which a person, any person that read this kitab, they were amazed, they were astonished that what is the reality of namaz. Aur iske mutala se har namazi ko kuch fayda zarur hota hai. So by reading this kitab, every namazi, he will get some benefit. Lekin yeh bhi zahir hai ke mahaz mutala se har koi khud aisi namaz ada karne par qadir nahi ho sakta. But he says, this is also apparent that just by making mutala, that every person on his own, he won't be able to read a perfect namaz. Just by reading the kitab and then you think you're going to make a perfect namaz, is not going to work. Jab tak ye kisi khas tarteeb se iski mashq na kare. As long as you don't now make mashq and practice upon this in a particular sequence. Kyunki saadaton ke husool mein aadatullah is tarah jari hai ki kasb aur mehnat karni padti hai. It says that if a person wants to attain some fortune, then the system of Allah Ta'ala is such that he'll have to make some effort. You want to attain a high position, you want to be fortunate, or a person wants to read a perfect salah, it's not going to come just like that. A person will have to make some effort. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, after he went through various tests, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ, so many tests. And Allah Ta'ala says, every test Ibrahim alayhi salam passed with flying colors. Then Allah Ta'ala says, إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا, now I will make you an imam for mankind. Although Allah Ta'ala can give it. For Allah Ta'ala to give it without any test also, and without putting a person through difficulty, it's possible. But generally, this is the system of Allah Ta'ala. Phir is par ata wahabi tor par hoti hai. Then Allah Ta'ala gives it to a person. Chunanche Allah Jalla Shanu ke rahmat, agar che kisi illat wa sabab ke muhtaj nahi. Although Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's mercy is not in need of any reason, any cause, because you did this, now I will give you. No. Allah Ta'ala can give it free of charge. Yaqtassu bi rahmatihi man yasha. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala chooses out of His mercy whomsoever He wishes. Allah Ta'ala gives it to whomsoever He wishes. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah has given an example of this. He says that one king, he passed away. So when the king passed away, they said that we need to appoint somebody as the king. Who are we going to appoint? So there was dispute now. They didn't know who to appoint as a king. So they said, you know what? Let's come to this conclusion. The first person that comes to the door of the palace tomorrow morning, we will make him the king. So next morning, a faqir, a beggar, he was the first person that came to the door of the palace. And not only was he a beggar, but seven generations before him, they were all beggars. Meaning generation upon generation, only beggars. So the beggar came. So they said that this was our decision. The first man that comes to the door, we will make him the king. So they gave him the seat. They made him the king. So they're asking him, putting questions in matters related to running the country. He's giving perfect answers. Perfect, absolutely perfect answers. Now when it was afternoon time, time for him to have his meal and have his rest, he called them. He said, the two servants that are here must come, must hold my hand on either side. The judge must take me now. So the two of them came. He's now the king. And they held him. He's a fakir, but they took him, they carried him, and they took him. So they asked him, they said, but tell us something. You're a beggar. And seven generations before you were beggars, where you got all this from? Where you learned all this from? So he says, that Allah Ta'ala who gave me this position, that Allah Ta'ala taught me the etiquette also. So Allah Ta'ala can teach a person without any effort whatsoever from his side. This is all from Allah Ta'ala. So that's what he's saying, يَقْتَصُ بِرَحْمَةِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. And how many people, this is what we must make dua. Allah Ta'ala, just pull us to Allah. You pull us without any effort from our side, Allah. You make us yours. Pull us towards you. And how many such people? Open the kitab, the pages of history. You'll find that so many people, what we will term as the write-offs. But there's no write-off. In this path, there is nobody that is a write-off. A person, Allah, the person that treads this path to Allah Ta'ala, then either Allah Ta'ala will make him his wali in his lifetime. He will become the friend of Allah in his lifetime. If he doesn't get it in his lifetime, then at the time of maut, before he leaves this world, he will become the friend of Allah. And if a person doesn't get it at the time of maut, then tomorrow when you'll be raised on the day of Qiyamah, you will be raised amongst the awliya of Allah Ta'ala. So in this path, nobody is a failure. A person will be successful either here or at the time of maut or on the day of Qiyamah. And the pages of history, they bear testimony to this. That how many people, Fuzail bin Ayaz rahmatullahi alayhi, Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi, they became great, great people. That's what Hazrat says. He said that every saint has a history. Every saint. There's some history. Somewhere along the line, he also fell. And every sinner has a future. Nobody is a write-off. So you also saying Allah Ta'ala chooses out of His mercy whomsoever He wishes. لَكِنْ إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِّنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ بِفَرْمَانِ إِلَٰهِ هِيَ. But He says that verily the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala is close to the people that do good. This is also the words of Allah Ta'ala. So here He says that, Sufi Iqbal Sahib, He says that from here now, I will mention five asbaq, five lessons that will help you to understand and to act on the teaching of Shah Ahmad Shaheed rahmatullahi alayhi. So these five sabaks that we're going to start now, inshallah, tomorrow, time is up now. He says that we have titled them as Noor, the first Noor, the second Noor, third, fourth, and five Noors, and then we'll go to the actual bayan. Allah Ta'ala give us both.